About the year 300, four monks went to visit the great abbot, St. Pombo, in Egypt. St. Pombo was a student of St. Anthony, the founder of monasticism, again about the year 300. And each of the monks spoke about a different virtue that the other monk had. So one said he fasted a great deal. The other one did great charitable works. The other one lived in poverty. But then the fourth one said that he had lived for 22 years in the service of an old man. Now Abbot Pombo said, "I tell you the virtue of this last one is the greatest. Each of the others has obtained the virtue he wished to acquire, but the last one, restraining his own will, does the will of the other." And so, this virtue of obedience was so essential to the spiritual life. Saint Benedict, who is the founder of Western monasticism about the year 400, used this very story to educate his monks in the virtue of obedience. Saint Benedict tried to teach the monks that there is the father abbot and there are the monks. There is a relationship of authority. The abbot has authority. But this isn't authority of like master versus slave. This is the spiritual father who has a loving authority over his spiritual sons. Therefore, the abbot does have to make obligations, ask for monks to do things, give them duties to perform. In humbling their will, they have to comply for what is good. Good not only for God, good for themselves, good for the whole order. Without such humble obedience, there would be chaos. Everyone would be doing his own thing, and the community would fall apart. So obedience, the simple, humble obedience. We could apply the same from that monastic idea to our very family. Remember in the commandments, the first three deal with our love for God and really therefore our duty towards God. Now we have a duty towards God because of his love for us. Our very life breath is a gift from God. God so loved us, he gave us his Son as our Savior, who gave us his life on that cross to give us the hope of everlasting life. Father and Son gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could live in the graced life of God now. Because of that love that is poured out for us, we have the duty to obey those first three commandments. First, not allowing any false gods into our life that take the place of God, not taking God's name in vain or being irreverent towards God, not skipping Mass, but rather worshiping on Sunday, keeping that as a holy day, as well as taking time for daily prayer and so on. But after those first three commandments, what's number four? Honor your father and your mother. Because in God's plan, God set parents over children. Again, not a master-slave kind of relationship, God forbid, but rather parents who love each other as husband and wife and therefore are loving towards their children. Children are a gift to a couple, but at the same time, the couple, mom and dad, are a gift to the children. And therefore, parents, out of their love, have the duty to provide for the welfare of their children in the physical sense, like the home, the education, the clothing, and so on. Parents have the spiritual duty to care for a child's soul, to teach the children the faith, to pray with them, bring them to church, give them that Catholic identity, that Christian identity that they need. Parents, too, at times have to discipline their children to keep them on the right path. But in all, parents have to be that good example. Values are not just taught. Values are, in a way, caught. So a parent could be the best provider, materially speaking. The parent could even send the kid to religious school or Catholic school and so on. But the parent has to also live by example. And this is why parents need to do things with their children. One of the greatest things is to just have dinner together, to share life with each other, to give the proper guidance. Because what this does is the children recognize then the loving authority of the parent and their duty to serve the parent. Yes, children will be asked to do things, but the key is, for any of us really, because in a way we're all children of some sort, but the key is, when we're asked to do something, we always remember who's asking. Someone who loves us. What are they asking? Something that is good in the eyes of God, good for us, good for our family. That's why when parents say, kids, do your homework, kids should obey, because that's what's good for them. It's a good thing to do. And then the other thing is, where does it lead? Hopefully it leads to being a better person, having a stronger family, maybe even leading to heaven. So when parents say, children, we go to Mass, we do that because it not only gives us that relationship with the Lord now, but eventually leads to heaven, God willing. So this is the key behind obedience. It's a loving relationship. Yes, it takes humility, that humbling of oneself, because if we just do whatever we want to do, if parents did whatever they just wanted to do, if kids did whatever they wanted to do, family breaks apart. Obedience is something very good for all of us here. Keep in mind, too, that as children grow older, it might get a little more difficult, but as long as kids are at home, they owe respect and obedience to their parents for what is good in the eyes of God, good for themselves, good for the family. As we get older and maybe are living on our own, parents are elderly, children still have the obligation to care for their parents, to make sure their parents are taken care of, and in turn, parents still have to guide their kids. My mom, who's 88 years old, still tells me what to do. So, that's life. But God bless it. You know, God bless that relationship. So, structure. But this is really exactly what St. Paul tells us in our second passage to Philippians. St. Paul speaks of putting on the attitude of Christ. But what is that? It's an attitude of humble, obedient love. We hear of how Christ humbled himself, taking the form of a slave. He was sent into this world by the Heavenly Father. True God became true man. Christ humbled himself to do his Father's will. In his growing up, we even see this obedient humility take place, because after all, he was entrusted to the care of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, his foster father. Remember that scene of the finding in the temple when little Jesus is 12 years old. He and Mary and Joseph have been separated. They come back to Jerusalem to find him and so on. The gospel concludes that story with the verse, he went back to Nazareth and was obedient to them. He recognized the God-given authority that they had received from the Heavenly Father. But even as time goes on, our Lord recognizes what a difficult mission he has. On the night of Holy Thursday, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays. He recognizes the cross that he's about to endure. He sweats blood because of the burden. And yet he says, Father, if it is thy will, let this chalice pass, but not my will, your will be done. Our Lord obeyed. He went to the cross because that was good in the plan of salvation. And because of that, you and I have the hope of salvation ourselves. But that has to be our attitude. Is it easy? No. You and I are the poor victims of original sin. Remember Adam and Eve? Disobeyed. They wanted to be God. They wanted to do their own will. And so they disobeyed. Even though we have received baptism, nevertheless we suffer from that weakness we call concupiscence, and we struggle. there's that little sin of pride, that weakness of pride that emerges. So consider our gospel that talks about a father and his two sons, a parable. Granted, it does deal with the Pharisees and the repentant sinners, but it also deals with us and this virtue of obedience. Here's a father who has given everything for his sons. He has a vineyard, so they're pretty well off. They know that when good old dad dies, they're going to get the vineyard. They should be thrilled. And the father asks the first son, go out into the vineyard and work. That's a good thing to do. It's good for the family. And the son says, no. But then eventually he does it. But we all have that, that little initial reaction. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and so on. No. But he does do it. It shows a love for his father. He pauses to think about it, and he does it. But then there's the second son who says, oh, yes, sir, I'll go out into the vineyard, but never does it. The pride there, call it vainglory, as St. Paul says, is maybe he's trying to show up his other brother or appease his father or impress the people around. But in his heart, he doesn't want to do it. There's real pride there. So we have vainglory on one side, obstinacy on the other side, but either way, it's a disobedience. The real challenge for us, my brothers and sisters, is to humble ourselves. And that's why we do need to pray. And in our prayers, we're humbling ourselves before God. If we can't take time to pray, then we have to ask ourselves, are we really being respectful of God? Obediently humbling ourselves before him. But take it further. In our prayer, you and I need to pray especially for those entrusted to our care. So to pray for parents, children, and so on, praying for each member of that of our families. Because by doing so, we become more mindful of them, their needs, and then more mindful of them when we have to respond to their needs. And so with this idea of obedience then, when we are asked to do something that we might not really like to do, or asked to do something that we don't understand why we have to do it, we pause and we think, well, who's asking? Someone who loves me. What are they asking? Something that's good in the eyes of God. And where does it all lead to? Better family. More harmonious relationships in the family leads to heaven. That's the key. Is it easy? No. But if only we prayed and took on that attitude of Christ. I oftentimes hear children's confessions, and usually children, and I'd say even myself at that time, would have confessed disobeying my parents, didn't do what they asked. I always tell kids, take time to pray for your children. Or take time to pray for your parents and your brothers and sisters, because it makes you more loving towards them and more mindful of the love that you share. But I also ask them, or tell them, I say, do you think your mom and dad really like going to work every day, or traveling down Route 7, or going to the grocery store, or doing laundry, doing dishes, cooking meals, and so on? Do you think they always like saying, oh, goody, I get to take you to the soccer game today? No. But why do they do it? Because they love you. They're doing what is good in the eyes of God. In the same way, then, you have to help your parents for what is good for your family. Same thing. Humble yourself. Make the sacrifice, just as Jesus did. What an important lesson this is. And we have to remember, especially children who grow older, I have a great fear that in our country we've lost the sense of respect for authority, proper obedience. The people just do what they want to do. There's this seduction of a false freedom where someone just can do whatever he wants, not really thinking about the ramifications. We've all heard the story of Hannah Graham, the UVA student who's gone missing. We should pray for her. But my heart breaks, because she's like so many young people that go off to college. There's a great temptation, because all of a sudden there's this freedom. No more mom and dad to pester and nag you. You can set your own schedule. You have no one overseeing what you're doing. You're on your own. And the temptation is, oh, I can do what all these people do. This looks fun and so on. But where does it lead? In listening to that story, I would ask myself, what was she doing out at 1 a.m? Having been drinking, going from bar to bar, party to party, and by herself. What was she thinking? What or who wasn't she listening to? And that's why for young people, that prayer is important, because it helps us then in our conscience hear a voice of love, the love of God, the love of our parents. I can say that when I was in college, I wasn't perfect. I know that's hard to believe. I wasn't perfect. But when I had to face tough decisions and these opportunities for a false freedom that would have enslaved me, I could hear the voice of my parents. I could hear the commandments. I could hear what they had taught me. And with that, had the grace to say, I'm not going there. And thank God, it saved me from some mistakes that I saw other people make that were really devastating. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we ponder this parable and we look at St. Paul's teaching, we should consider that virtue of obedience. Just think, if we really humbled ourselves, respected the loving authority that has been placed over us, paused to ask those questions, who's asking me? What are they asking? And where is this all leading to? And we really, in love, listened and even obeyed, think how better our lives would be, or the lives with our spouse, or with our children, or even in our community. Humble obedience actually gives us great freedom. May God bless you.